Hello, welcome to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California! It is my duty and my privilege to announce that Harmontown is now in session. Won't you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Hello! I was watching a G.I. Joe cartoon over the weekend, Jeff.
Yeah.
For a classic from the 80s. There's an episode of G.I. Joe in which Cobra, the Joes are transported to a terrible new dimension in a cosmic mix-up. They are transported to a world where Cobra is in charge. They have taken over the government of the world. It's Cobra World. And for instance, when you buy something, they figure this out very slowly because there's the differences are very subtle, which I found profound. For instance, they go and buy a pack of gum and there's like a Cobra scanner that comes down and scans your retina to make sure you can buy the gum right and that you're loyal to Cobra. And there's a lot of posters on the wall that are a picture of Cobra Commander that says like, loyalty to Cobra or else! Exclamation point, which is sort of like totally on the like very Woody Allen approach to despotism as a kind of hard on the sleeve kind of. But the most interesting thing I thought about Cobra World is they're flying around. They're going, my God, will you look at the White House? It has a little cobra on top of it. Oh no, look at the Washington Monument. It's got a little cobra on top of it. And then they go past Mount Rushmore. And my God, Jeff, Mount Rushmore had some of its faces replaced.
Not Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, Teddy Roosevelt's face replaced with Destro. And then I guess Jefferson replaced with Cobra Commander. I can't remember. Who, by the way, not famous for his face. I don't know if when the sculptor came to him, you know.
Famous for no face.
You know, I'm not really. My face isn't really the thing that's for sale. I'm kind of famous more for my lack of face than anything.
But probably easier to sculpt. It's more smooth.
Yeah. I'm not sure the sculptor was like, slam dunk. But I just thought that George Washington and Abe Lincoln's still up there.
It's not like I'm racist or something. I'm still American, I think. I don't know. I still value America.
I think
I'm a capitalist, for God's sakes. I don't want to socialize medicine. If you get sick, you should have to pay for your medical care. And slaves should be free.
I think the only reason Teddy Roosevelt's on the monument is because he was friends of the sculptor, right? That was kind of an inside job.
No, yeah, that was a friend. That's probably what Cobra's big problem with it.
Let's get this fucking Teddy Roosevelt off of here. He didn't earn this. I did, by having a smooth face.
the world seemed good. That was the elephant in the room. Was like G.I. Joe were terrorists because they were in a world where Cobra was the establishment. But pretty much the same behavior occurring. Just people shooting at each other with lasers. And all right, so there's a new thing for the moon colony.
All right. I love that we've returned to our premise after all these years.
Okay, the jury's still out on whether or not there will be restaurants on the moon.
There has to be restaurants.
One for Jeff.
VIP moon is going to have great restaurants. Actually, I was thinking about making the moon. I was talking to a friend, and my little VIP moon is just going to be a taco truck.
Here is, because I cannot enact this legislation on the Earth, that's the only reason I'm bringing up the moon, because I have no control over what goes down here. But I would like to make this suggestion to the wait staff of America. I think that when you come up to the table and it's time to clear the plates away, and when you see that a plate has been cleared by the diner, like licked clean. You know, I know that the overwhelming temptation that you've learned this from other waiters and then learned it from your behavior, like at the table. I know that you want to do the hilarious looks like you didn't like it bit. You know, looks like you hated it. Looks like you hated it. I think we have to stop it. Stop. It doesn't. It's a cancerous joke. It takes in joy and it creates discomfort. There's no. You think you're misperceiving people's nervous chuckles as joy. You might as well just go up to people and go like, whoa, what do you hate me or something? And make them go, no, that sound, that's not happiness, that sound. That's like, oh God, Jesus Christ, this person's making me uncomfortable. It's just sort of like, what do you want? Just go away. It looks like you didn't like your food. No, I did. That's why I ate. Oh, I ate all the food. I did like it. I liked it so much. I opposite hated it. That's why you said that. Here's your money. It's just the worst case scenario is it makes you feel fat, like the person you're talking to. And the best case scenario is just nervousness, just like just confusion and anxiety. So stop it if you can down here, but on Earth, on the moon, that will not be allowed. And that may be the reason why there cannot be restaurants. That and close-up magic.
No fucking close-up magic.
Yeah, well, restaurants bring a lot of society's pains on, if you eliminate restaurants, there's not going to be close-up magicians.
I don't like magic. We've talked about this a number of times. Yeah. Fuck magicians. But magic is lies. It's just somebody lying to you. It's not a trick. A magic trick is just a lie. And when magicians, I'm repeating myself, but when a magician goes, if someone does a card trick, go, wow, how'd you do that? Can't tell you, man. I can't tell you because that's part of the magician's code. But the reason why they can't tell you is because if they told you, you're a magician. We'd all be magicians if you knew the fucking stupid fucking trick. And you'd have to wear a vest and stink and be named Dave. I don't know. I'm thinking of one guy. However, I went to the fucking Magic Castle against my will and against all fucking better judgment, because the Magic Castle, as I said before, is a bummer and it smells like poo. But I went there and I was brought up on stage by the... it wasn't the close-up stage. It was like the medium-sized stage. And the guy saw me in my suit and goes, you... Did I talk about this on the show already?
Yeah.
I did? All right, go fuck yourself. No. Yeah, he brought me up on stage because he thought I would be skeptical, and he proceeded to blow my mind. He needed me up on stage to prove to the audience that, it was really magical.
You mean you had to, cut a rope, or...?
No, he dropped coins. He kept dropping metal coins into my hand, and then when he would close my hand, and I would see, one, two, three, four coins go into my hand, big, loud metal coins. He would close my fists, and he would say, how many coins are in your hand? In front of 45 people. And I would say, well, four. And he'd open my hand, and there would be a rubber ball in my hand. And it was fucking magic. Wow. So I take everything back.
So you like, all right. It has to be real magic,
it
otherwise.
It had to be real. But still, fuck him. And also, he smelled like mildew.
It smells like your grandpa's sleeping bag there.
Yeah.
The one that died in his sleeping bag.
How about the magic trick of make the smell disappear?
Yeah, that would be quite a trick. Fuck the ghost at the piano. Take a magic bath, people. I stopped myself halfway through that because I'm like, what have I become?
You're the guy that hates being told to take a bath.
A magic castle should be my people. I should, if I knew how to lie better, I should just be there instead of the moon. I should be just saying abracadabra and hanging out in my dumb hat. You ever get scared bagging on magicians that you'll come home and your bed will be split in half?
I live in mortal fear of that. Is anybody really like magic?
What you just said yourself, you described an experience that was well done.
But
I was a sense of wonder.
I didn't have fun. It was like, oh, you're faking me out. You're doing it like it's just lies.
I get very nervous in regular conversations, let alone conversations where I'm being asked questions, told what to do, afraid I'm going to do it wrong. Like the few times that I've been engaged by a magician have caused me such anxiety that I think I exude like a force field that magicians don't pick me and stuff, because I just get so nervous. In those things, when people go like, "Oh, I want to put this in your hand," the other left hand.
I'm surprised that somebody actually, a recent waiter or waitress, gave you the "looks like you didn't like it" bit.
That was this weekend that happened. The guy at Umami Burger, a hipster burger place in Hollywood. Still, his mustache was waxed. He was wearing a, you know, half a strap of an overall, whatever the fuck the kids are doing these days. A henna tattoo of Pokemon on his face. I don't know. Whatever. He was a hologram. He. But still, saw the crumbs and just like the 45-year-old Midwestern diner waitress in him just jumped out. Guess you didn't like it very much. No, I did. I swear. Why are we fighting? What is the instinct to be sarcastic in a moment that should just be celebrated? Yeah. Oh, wow, you loved the mac and cheese. It's gone. It's in your poo-poos. Good boy. Clean plate club. Just be nice in that moment. You don't have to be Willy Wonka. You don't have to fucking stretch my boundaries. Teach me that truth is relative. You're not a fucking like. You're not Mad Mardigan. I don't know what I was doing.
Are you comparing him to Willow?
I don't know why that name leapt into my head. Oh, because I miss Erin. That's why. She's in Chicago. Thanks, guys. That was heartfelt. She's in Chicago doing like these shows and stuff, and it's like 2 days without her, and I'm just a wreck.
Why is that?
I guess either if the healthiest answer, because I love her, if I'm unhealthy, I'm an emotional vampire, and I was feeding off of her. I don't know. In either case, she was integral to my happiness.
Are you guys gonna get married?
Well, you know, I don't know if you understand how marriage works, but typically you're not supposed to give that much of a heads up. Like, if I said yes, then when I propose to her, she's going to say finally instead of yes.
You're being extra weird about it for no reason. You guys haven't discussed this? It's not a discussion that you guys have had?
I think there's a. Well, it's in the. I think she knows that I want to be with her forever and stuff. But you know that there's a. There's a tackiness to, you know, pointing at the bleachers.
Why don't you be the first person to propose to her on a podcast that will come out 2 days from now?
Because that
and you can like put a ring on her iPhone, and like, I don't know.
Because that will be her moment. I don't want to be one of those guys that embarrasses the proposee. You know, I want to do it regular style. And
so you're gonna do it.
Well, I have no plans to I'm not breaking up with her, and I'm not dying. Ergo, marriage is imminent.
Will you marry me?
I mean, isn't there some magic to
this
idea?
Hey, sorry I brought it up. You don't have to marry her. No one's making you marry her.
If I asked you if you were going to marry your girlfriend, you know that the spot that you would be put on. You'd have to. That's a yes or no question to something that you're not supposed to talk about that stuff.
Why not?
Okay, Jeff, are you going to marry the girlfriend that you're with right now?
No. Are you?
Yes. Although this... I made that decision before I found out yours was going to be available. She's a delight. All right. Yes, yes. I miss Erin, and yes, one day, yes. I'll make an honest woman out of her. She's where's that expression come from? Well, I guess I don't know. I guess that is like the idea that you're making a woman dishonest by just like I guess that hails back to a time when sex was a criminal act, like out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. Like you had to, if you were having sex with somebody and you weren't married to them, then they had to lie to the gas station attendant.
Where would you? I'm sure Erin's. I know Erin enough to know she's the kind of person that probably has ideas about what her ideal wedding would be. But if you like, where would you like to be married? Like in like the best of all possible worlds.
I would start that conversation by acknowledging that I think the ceremonies are more for the people, you know, like, because you could take somebody and stand under a waterfall and or go to City Hall. I think Kumail and Emily went to City Hall, didn't they? And then maybe they had a ceremony later for friends. But like the couple, you know, there's a marrying somebody would make a warehouse full of dead rats romantic for those two people. But for the people that you're inviting, you want to make sure that they're having a good time. And to that effect, I would like to do a Raiders of the Lost Ark themed wedding where the audience was not only allowed to but really required to help save our marriage from Destro. I don't know.
Are you two going to be tied to a stake? And when the ring comes out, you're going to say, "Don't look at it."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the officiant will be a melting Nazi.
Well, in a
ceremonial garb, and he'll open. We'll get married by Belloc.
Will all of the attendees have to dress like Nazis too? I think that was a Nazi-heavy ceremony in Raiders of the Lost Ark. What are you doing?
Erin's texting me.
It's like she knows the show is going on.
Why did she text me?
Read it.
No, because it...
She said yes.
that means Adam Goldberg is texting her. And she's saying I do right now.
No, she doesn't. She's just... Wait, she said, I think she's at some hip hop show, and then she sent me all text, all caps. Ah, an MC just dropped your name. Ah. and then a follow up text in reference to Community. Ah, like it would be in reference to my world famous carrot cake recipe. Yo, before we get started.
I want to give a big shout out to Dan Harmon. He puts the right amount of cinnamon in that carrot cake.
He's out there keeping it real. Not too much carrot, I assume, is the secret. Because it's a cake, not a salad.
Hi, Aida. Wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
Did you know that Harmontown is a Feral Audio podcast, Jeff?
I was unfamiliar with that concept.
That you can go to feralaudio.com and hear what, some of the most amazing people in the world. Like, for instance, Duncan Trussell or Aaron McGathy or Chelsea Peretti.
Why is it called Feral Audio? Was it raised in the wilderness? Was it real audio, but it didn't have parents and was raised in the streets?
Yeah. I think it's like you look at Dustin, you know, Dustin sort of is Feral Audio, and he's like a lithe, kind of stringy street cat. I always assumed it was sort of his totem that he was like he's like an alley cat. He's a little scrapper. he's and if he scratches you, you get sick.
Is that true?
Dustin? Oh yeah. You ever get scratched by him?
Yeah, just last night. I don't feel so well.
Yeah. It's bad news. Yeah, no, but that's the plug for this week. Is just go. It's a network. go to feralaudio.com and I'm not kidding. I mean, if I wouldn't say this about Pringles even if they were giving us money, which is why they won't. I mean, because I would be like, well, I would say Pringles are delicious, but they're probably bad for you.
I wrote them the best jingle of all time and nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say?
Nike.
Wait,
somebody just brought me some Adam Goldberg. Brought me a weird Lay's stacks. Canister.
Speaking of food at the show,
Thank you. Where's
Bill? I don't see Bill. Bill's not here. Beef Fungus Bill got a taste of his own beef fungus. And
Adam, why did you give me alternative Pringles?
Seems right in the moment.
Seemed right in the moment.
He's a dot connector. Adam connects dots. He said Pringles. He had a cylinder in his hands.
Wait, they're half eaten. Kind of bullshit.
Should we just get a Goldberg update? Just bring Adam up here with me.
Goldberg update.
No.
You like a Lay's stacked end?
Are they baked or what is the...
Probably. I am. Ah, drugs. Okay.
What's
great about Aaron. It's really cool that an MC dropped your name. That's...
No back brace?
No, I'm doing pretty well on that, actually.
What's going on with your back?
I'm only going to answer questions while eating delicious Lay's stacks available in cheddar.
Those are good.
From the dollar store of Pasadena.
These better be good for you. These suck.
Well, that's a good point, though. My back brace is awesome. The most important thing you know about my back brace.
Yeah, these are delicious.
Are you on something?
Nah.
You said drugs.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? No, it's just a delicious flavor of Lay's cheddar. You're right. These just don't...
You're high as fuck
end.
Right now. Adam, your family listens to this podcast.
My brother asked if there are any extra XL t-shirts. You don't have to say yes, but this does count as me asking on the record.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fair enough. And my back has been slowly recovering due to physical therapy, but now that I'm back to lifting, thank you. One person applauded, and they're the best person.
It's your physical therapist.
It's work, yeah.
Woo, dying art!
No, I'm doing pretty much better. I was lifting a bunch of boxes for a Christian film this weekend. Yeah, and I met a fan of the podcast on the film, and he's much more interesting than I am. And I'd like to invite Jay to the stage because I'm doing terrible.
It is not your fucking privilege to invite people to the stage. That is not how that works.
What if I sweeten the deal with some delicious Lay's stacks available in cheddar from the Pasadena 99 cent
This store. Time you've gone too far.
Okay.
Why don't we just... Why don't we just sit out in the audience and let Adam do the rest of the show?
That would be a bad idea, and let's do it.
Give us the headline on what makes him so interesting.
Lay's stacks are the ultimate way to recharge... And it says Lay's stacks, and there's not enough room. There's a copyright symbol, and it says brand underneath it. So please do not use Lay's stacks, all capitals, in a way that the Frito-Lay Corporation would dislike, because they are a registered brand. Cheddar-flavored potato crisps give you the full flavor.
What is going on?
Are you Crispin Glover now? What are you... Are you going to start karate kicking? You're reading a potato chip label.
I really want to punt these into the audience, but, the first three rows will suffer more than they are now.
You've gone mad with delicious cheddar-flavored power.
And 9% of my daily sodium. I'm done. I'm just... That's about it.
Adam Goldberg, everybody.
Hey.
What just happened?
I think maybe he's on painkillers or something. That's why his back brace is off.
That's PCP. He's on PCP.
Is that dust? Is that angel dust?
Angel dust.
Is that what angel dust is?
Yeah.
PCP? What is PCP?
It's angel dust.
Well, this is conversations going in circles. Is it like a
PCP is the only time I've seen people on PCP and it is a intense, like, I'm not sure what the original purpose was. I think it was like a horse tranquilizer or some crazy shit. And friends of mine accidentally have done it, and I've seen them, and they thought they could do anything. And they really just go berserk. And like you really do think you could punch your fist through a wall, so you try it.
And then there was that bath salts thing that made you think that you would like to eat a face.
What?
Yeah, you don't even know.
Bath salts.
For a little while there was a spate of human-on-human murder, cannibalism happening on this drug called... I thought it was actually people snorting the product called bath salts, like the actual bath salts that someone had figured out that you could snort that and get high, but it was also making you eat faces. But I think isn't it just a drug you kids are taking?
What is the active ingredient in the bath salts?
It's basically, it's chemically equal to something like a illegal substance, but they basically use different ingredients and methods to get around it. So they were selling basically what equivalent to like something like a PCP in like legal form in packets in stores.
It's basically meth.
Yeah, it's meth.
It's meth.
And you take a bath in it? You smoke it. Oh, okay.
But there's a special ingredient, human face, and once you get a taste for it, you... Is somebody else talking out there? Did somebody just take a phone call, or was somebody like loaded with information about bath salts? Because if you are, you could tell us. All right. Well, enough about. We talked about drugs. We talked about Cobra Commander. We talked about rock and roll. Why don't we bring Spencer up?
Fuck yeah! Why not? Hello, Spencer.
Hey.
Spencer, is it just me or is your beard becoming more and more majestic as time goes by?
Longtime fans may know that my beard increases in length every time I get more Twitter followers. Having a beard's weird. Do you like having a beard, Dan?
Only if I'm able to keep it clean. Yeah. Otherwise, it gets very itchy.
I find that people take... having a beard is, it's a lot like having like a comment section on your face. People just feel free to say anything. They're like, oh man, how long have you been growing that? I mean, that's fine. Or like, oh, when are you planning on cutting that? Or this old guy's like, I'll give you $50 to cut that right now. Or someone's like, fuck you.
Yeah, and it's kind of unwarranted because it's not like you did anything special. You really just let it grow. It's like
I did less than everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, but there's no answer to this except biology. Like, how do you get it to be so long? I don't think I'm capable of doing that.
Yeah, well, what was that movie? Was in the movie Knocked Up, were they making fun of a guy for growing a beard?
Can't remember.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, there's this phase, it's terrible. It's like, I think it's just long enough so it curls back and is stabbing into your face, and that's what makes it all itchy. But once you get past that, it kind of just bursts forth in majesty.
Do you really think that if I just never trimmed my beard that it would ever acquire length like that?
Yeah, when I was in like middle school and high school and stuff, people would tell me that I missed some spots shaving when I just didn't shave because it only came in like two spots on my face. Mm-hmm. But eventually you just, if you don't shave it, it'll start filling out and stuff. I think it's just that everything grows at a different rate. So if you're shaving your whole face, it'll only be patchy. But if you let it grow long enough, you know.
Dan, do you not trim your beard? You don't curtail that, or is it just stops at that length?
I usually end up trimming it, but I feel like if I didn't. When I don't trim it, all that happens is it just sort of like, as I've said, it just kind of Galifianakis's, like, it gets bushier, but it doesn't really take on this cascading manhood.
I don't know. I think the bushy look is a lot better. This just looks really weird.
I'm just saying. I don't know if everyone automatically has the ability to like ZZ Top it. I think some of us I would just look more and more like a. Like I would just like there was a donut of hair around my head. I would just end up being like this weird like Dick Tracy character, donut head. I'm taking Dick Tracy out of the headlines. I'm rubbing him out. Easy, donut head. Just keep playing poker.
Hey, little face. Yeah, donut head? What's the difference between us? Well, I have a tiny face surrounded by a head. You have a regular head surrounded by a bunch of hair. Why am I explaining this to you? Because I'm donut head. I'm not too bright. I'm just I got involved in organized crime not because it was my passion. It was because I had no other options. I lacked the aptitude for other occupations. Oh, come on, donut head. Don't be so hard on yourself. You got this tiny little face. It's like you're born to be a gangster. You being sarcastic? No. I pick up on that shit, you see? Well, let's get Dick Tracy. All right, little face.
Later.
Why do you keep your bread in the freezer? What are you doing in my apartment? Who keeps bread in the freezer? You want a sandwich? No, you go to the freezer. The bread's fucking frozen. What are you gonna? You know you need a sandwich a half hour before.
Meanwhile,
I want my face to be more to the left.
Oh, but the Cobra Commander, that would replace Mr. Roosevelt.
I don't care. I heard he didn't even do anything to be on this mountain. Also, G.I. Joe's terrible. I hate them.
Later.
Stacy, move those shoes. You found the bottom of my improv hopper.
I wanted that to go on for the rest of my life. I wanted just to keep saying meanwhile and later, and that would go on forever.
Yeah. It got bad pretty quick, didn't it? Didn't even start that good. Just looking at my Evernote. Back to Evernote. Yeah. All right. I let the waiters have it, right? Just don't do that. What do you mean, why not? Who said that? Are you a waitress? Okay.
Come up on stage and get a microphone.
If you want.
What's your name?
Lisette.
Lisette. Hello, Lisette.
All right. Well, can we repipe some of that now that you're... Maybe we'll edit out the... So you are a wait person.
I was.
Who has taken the stage. You were a wait person for 7 years, did you say?
6 years for numerous restaurants around the LA County that have no need for me. So there you go.
Okay. And what you were saying is that you learned from wait people...
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, you finish your pie. I'm like,
okay,
oh,
pie.
You look like you really like it there, right? That's what they say, you know.
Well, no. They say it looks like you hated it.
Right, whatever. Well, what you say. you know what I mean. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah. But what you said, I want to point out, is actually kind of a, I mean, that wouldn't be half as bad.
Yeah,
you really liked it. Well, yeah,
That's what I always said. But I'm saying I've worked with people that have said that, and I as a waitress, when I've gone out to eat, they've told me that, oh, it looks like you hated it.
And you don't like that, do you?
And I didn't like it, but I've had friends that have been with me while it's been said to me that, and here's what you do. The next time they tell you that, you say, yeah, it sucked. You say that. And then they're kind of confused. They're like, but if you, like, for example, why'd you eat it all? And you're like, you could say, well, because I couldn't order anything else because you were too lazy to come back for me to change my order. And I swear to God, that will make them feel worse. Because
in telling them you murdered their parents, I mean, like, it comes to a certain point where it's just like, what is our goal here as a society? Is it just to poison each other's brains and souls?
Yes. No, I'm just saying, if you want to make them feel bad, they've told me that before. Well, okay, here's the thing. I used to work at Johnny Rockets, and Johnny Rockets has apple pie. They have apple pie with cheddar cheese on it. I don't recommend it. You should go to Pans, is better. Anyway, you order that, and some people would be like, well, yeah, the pie was too burnt. And I'm like, well, why'd you finish it? And they're like, well, because I was hungry. And then they still, what's even tackier is when they ask for a refund on something that they ate in completion. But, yeah. You know, if you want to make them feel bad, ask for a refund. you don't necessarily have to get it, but you'll definitely put the server in their place.
No. All right, well.
I'm just saying.
Lizette, did you work at one of the Johnny Rockets where you had to, like, get up and, on the counter and sing and dance and
stuff? That's Ed DeBevis.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
There are Johnny Rockets where if they play YMCA, you have to get up
or
and
Respect
do the...
Or Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Did you have to do that?
Oh, it was very... it wasn't my better day, you know?
Can we see a little version of it?
No, thank you. No.
What song? Just said it was horrible.
I mean, she's comfortable telling, making people feel worse about things.
No, I'm just saying I've been a server and I've, you know.
What you want?
Anyway,
I got it.
Is that like the sound of an alarm clock in a movie? Or are you going like?
I still like that song regardless that I had to dance to it.
Really?
But I'm just saying, yeah. It's not that I'm trying to make a server feel bad. I'm just saying there's two kinds of servers. They're dicks and then they're nice people. They're nice people? Yeah, basically.
Nice people. Dicks and knife people. I was holy shit, this is going to a...
Nice.
I know. When you said that, though, I thought, wow.
Look, as everyone has gone out to eat in the city, I'm pretty sure we all come across the narcissistic waiter and then there's, you know, the overtly nice people. I was one of the waitresses that was super nice. That's why I never got fired right away. But
you got fired for embezzling later on down the road?
No, I once got fired for telling someone that they were inadvertently fat. I didn't mean to.
Wait, you said they were inadvertently fat?
No, not. I didn't say that. Well, it's like, okay, so this lady comes in and she orders a chicken pot pie, right? Mm-hmm. But prior to ordering it, her friend's like, oh, she just got wisdom teeth. What do you think about the chicken pot pie? I said, it's too heavy for you. I said that. I was referencing texture, but I wasn't smart enough to say, oh, the texture for that is too heavy for your teeth. I just said, oh, yeah, that's too heavy. So she equates that with, oh, you're calling me fat? She told my manager. I got fired.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That would be... That's.
Was she fat?
No, she was okay. You know, she wasn't... She wasn't
fat.
No, she... She was a little stocky, but I'm not going to say that. She was a little stocky, but I'm not going to say that.
But I'm curious, though, because you said it's too heavy for you. It's the for you that made her go, what did you mean by for you?
Well, I should have said, no, the texture of chicken pot pie, we've all had it. It's basically mashed potatoes in a pie. Come on, and peas and chicken.
You were saying for her.
Yeah,
why?
Well, because she just got wisdom teeth surgery. Would you want to eat?
Did you know that? What did you? She said that?
Yeah. Did I not say that earlier? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Hey, I'm a terrible interviewer. I was probably thinking about...
Yeah, you're probably only a terrible interviewer because you keep telling yourself that you're a terrible interviewer.
Why during the interviews, yeah, instead of listening. Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever not interview yourself in the bathtub? You can get better that way.
I have... No.
You're talking about jerking off, right?
You interview yourself in your bathtub?
I interview myself all the time in the bathtub.
Fantasize about being on David Letterman or like that kind of thing or Barbara Walters and having them tell you specific questions.
I think maybe when I was a lot younger, yeah, I would have fantasies about being on a panel.
Let's say that you were on Letterman tonight and like or Conan. What do you have a Conan or a Letterman story? Like what would be your go-to like anecdote that you would say?
I don't know. It depends on. Why don't I have plenty of things? But
you're the one that practices all this shit. Like you don't have a go-to.
Well, what's your do you have a fantasy reason why you would be that noteworthy?
I don't want to work at Starbucks for the rest of my life.
No, I know. But I mean, in your fantasy, when you're on Letterman, like, why is Letterman having you on in the fantasy? Is it because of a book you wrote, or is it because of a dance you do, or?
I invented the no. I just yeah. I don't know for whatever reason.
I wanted you to finish
reason,
making
I,
that up.
I become a. I take over your job.
Okay. Well,
no, I'm kidding. That I'm just saying.
It's gonna be the toughest shoes you'll ever fill. You'll have to learn how to not listen to people while you're interviewing them. And that's interesting to me though because so you're fantasizing about being on David Letterman and he's just going. Our next guest is Lizette. And let's bring her out. And you're like, hey, and he's like, so how, that is an amazing dress you're wearing. And like you talk about the dress, and you tell some. Well, the interesting thing about it to me is it makes me realize the people that are on Letterman aren't really. They're just plugging a movie, but it's not like they come out and do a scene from it.
Well,
they just come out and they talk about parking tickets.
Well, have you noticed that every interviewer has their different thing? Conan O'Brien lets pretty girls touch his hair. you know, you want to touch his hair, he's like, ugh. Like, you know, he pretends that his hair is, like, you know, alive or whatever. David Letterman tends to hit on really pretty girls, and he makes, like, awkward people feel even more awkward. He's kind of mean, but he's kind of nice at the same time. I don't know. Just, maybe he just plays favorites, but I don't know.
You could talk to him about that on the panel, right? You could come out, you'd turn the tables on him, and he'd be like, wow, what's happening? And you'd be like, I'm Lizette, motherfucker. All right. Well, thank you, Lizette, for sharing your information.
Lizette.
Thank you.
That was experienced weight person Lizette on how to make a weight person feel bad.
I worked as a busboy once, and it was the worst. I was so bad at it because I hate people.
Busboys hate people?
No, I hate people.
Right.
I worked at a country club, and so it was just rich white douchebags, and I was broke, and it was a terrible job. And one time I came out, and we had to build everything. So there'd be like, you had to put a dance floor together, and they put sectional walls up and carry these giant tables out. So by the time that the guests were there, you were exhausted and you were cut. We always like had the Band-Aids on. And we're serving food. It's totally gross. And I was carrying a tray out, and it had 15 or so little silver coffee creamer, like creamer tins in it. And I had to put one on each table. And I was so tired and like fatigued, I dropped it all over the back of a lady in a black velvet dress. And everybody lizzes. I felt bad, she felt bad, the husband felt bad, everyone in the world died a little bit. And the husband got up and he just starts screaming at me. And I wanted to, you know, disappear and die. And if I'd do anything to make that not happen. I'm so like, I'm just blushing. And this guy, he's, you know, he's about a head shorter than me, but he's just big, like, stocky little fucker. He just turns purple and is like, "You, goddammit!" And he just starts screaming at me. And the wife was covered in creamers. I'm covered in shame. And I just look at the guy and I go, "Enough." And I put my finger in his face and he kept yelling. I go, "Shut up." Like your yelling is not making her happier. Like you need, like I'm going to murder you because you're making this worse. And then I called my manager a cunt and I left.
For those listening, Jeff just applauded himself.
For those of you listening, I frequently am underneath the podium. I'm frequently applauding myself. I think every time I've ever quit a job, I've called somebody a cunt. That's not good.
Yeah. It's better in England, right? It's more of a terrible word here.
Yeah. No, I meant it to hurt.
Yeah.
I worked at a Trader Joe's and just stole everything.
There's nothing worse you could call another man than the C word, because it's a horrible word to call a woman. And then you're calling a man. When I've been really angry like, I can't even think of examples, but like when it's sort of like that primal man on man rage.
Yeah.
Like when I really want a guy to feel really terrible about himself, I call him the worst word you can call a woman, which is interesting. It's kind of the opposite of interesting. It's like the most obvious thing in the world.
What was the last job you had that before a writer, like the actual like a 9-to-5 or like a actual job?
Jeez, the last time I think it was as a data entry clerk. I think that was my last real job. I think after I quit that, I was like, I can't. I was gonna run down my curriculum vitae. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
a lot of resume writers here that have that on their CV. I worked as a caddy at a country club. It was awful. Like you're working for like way sub minimum wage. You have to get like this permit that allows you to be working for not really any money at all. And then, so you're just reliant on these tips. And it was like, it's a Milwaukee country club. It wasn't like they were just like throwing 50s around. Like they would just give you a dollar after you.
I've had caddies before, like in nice courses. I have friends that are good golfers and I get to go play with them. And the caddies are actually like, they help you read your putts. They tell you what club selection they give you. Do you have any golf knowledge?
I would just fake it. I would go, because the guy would go like, oh, you know, like I remember one triumph was the guy going like, so what do you think? Like, 5-wood? And I was like, ugh. I was like, three, huh? And I was like, yeah. And then he remember there was he hit it and he got across this body of water. It was like a river between the thing. I don't think he got on the green, but he was like it landed and then he was like, huh? Oh, you were right. And he said, if I used a five, I would have been swimming. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'd have been wet, Jack.
then you'd need to get a snorkel porker out.
Snorkel porker.
But you had to clean their clubs with a toothbrush at the end of everything. It was like you haul their clubs. That's some heavy shit, dude. Like a bag of golf clubs. And then for sometimes 18 holes, and then like get it back to the so-called caddy shack, which is not as fun as it sounds. And wash the fucking grass stains out of the ridges in their clubs for 40 minutes with a toothbrush, and then eventually one of them they'll come over and they'll give you $1.
A dollar? Well, this is back in the 40s, right?
this was Carter dollars. They weren't worth as much, but there was also no oil. I don't know. My longest job was a dishwasher at the rehab center. In Milwaukee, I would wash dishes.
Spencer, do you miss your job at Apple?
I miss the people. I think that a lot of the people I worked with were really awesome, but I don't miss like anything else about the job.
Do you miss Steve Jobs?
No.
Did he ever come in and go like teamwork?
Yeah. No, we hung out a few times.
You lying?
Yeah. I answered the phones all the time, like it is really stupid, like terrible stuff. So I mean, when I applied for the job, I was like, how much phones are involved? And they're like, none. And then I got hired, and they're like, we're adjusting our positions, so you answer the phone now. So it was like it was the worst possible situation for me because I hate dealing with idiots I can't see. So, I mean, no, but it was really terrible. People would be all like, hey, I got an iPad. Okay. Yeah, it takes pictures? Yeah. And it's just like, they don't even have anything to say.
Lonely people calling you. Lonely
people? They just called to talk. I'm taking a picture of my phone.
Yeah.
So can you see me doing that? let me be an Apple phone answerer, and you be the worst amalgam of all the Apple people, or just an example of an Apple experience you hated. All right. Ring ring. Hello, Apple.
Yeah, I got an iPad 3Gs or something. I think it's got a touchpad on the top.
Is this based in reality?
Normally, when there's icons, you see icons, but I'm just seeing a black apple on a gray background.
Oh, it sounds like your product is starting up. I know that.
No, it's been like this since I got it.
So is it an iPad or?
Yeah, it's on my table. Hold on, the kettle's going. I have a follow-up.
Dan, can you be the Apple employee but also be Cobra Commander at the same time?
All right, new phone call. Cobra Command has done such a good job of running the country that now it's, Cobra Commander's just working at an Apple store. Right. Bring, bring.
I have been on 15 different lines. I've been transferred 7 times. I don't know how Apple products work. Your company is garbage. Can you give me all the free stuff?
I appreciate your situation. Could you please just relax for a moment? This is the first time I'm speaking
to you.
Your
company has charged me 4 times in the last month for bills I haven't seen. I've never seen any certificates or receipts. I didn't even know I'd be charged for stuff like HBO.
It sounds like you're describing something other than Apple, sir.
This is the AT&T store.
This is Apple.
The AT&T store. I called AT&T corporate and they transferred me here.
Later.
Hello, AT&T, this is Destro.
He transfers all the AT&T calls to Cobra Commander because he hates him.
There was some crazy shit going on in G.I. Joe, man, right when they ended. That was when Destro and Professor Mindbender went off on the side, and they were like, I don't think Cobra Commander's doing a very good job. And they made Serpentor out of the DNA of like 85 different like dictators, except Hitler. But it's like the elephant in the room. They're like, we're gonna get Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan, and you're like a kid going, what about Hitler? Like,
yeah,
come
on. Yeah, we're not douchebags.
Napoleon and Alexander the Great, Vlad the Impaler was in there, and then they
somebody went, yeah.
they activated Serpentor, and they put some frog DNA in there or something that made Serpentor like really unruly. So then, toward the end of G.I. Joe, like Destro was going back to Cobra Commander and going, I'm sorry, I've kind of fucked up. And they were forming like a new, there were like three organizations that were all fighting each other. That's the thing about G.I. Joe, is G.I. Joe had its shit together, ran the government, and no, there was no infighting. And then Cobra was just like, you couldn't get through a day over there. It was just like,
why are you always implying that I'm not good?
I didn't say that. I just think we should send the microchips to the rockets.
Oh, your insolence will be demanded.
It's just like they were their own worst enemy.
Your insolence will be what?
Demanded. I don't know. They were self-destructive. I'm telling you, they demanded insolence. All right. Should we,
Spencer? Do you think you're ever going to get married?
I mean, God willing.
You want to be married?
Sure.
And religiously, of course.
I was going to say only religiously, but that's not very funny.
Where would your ideal wedding take place?
I don't care. See, why does that matter? It's supposed to be for the bride, right?
Well, it's for both.
I say for the people that have to sit there.
Well, fuck them.
No, the whole inviting them to the wedding is fuck them. Like,
well, they
like when they
no.
get there, they want to get drunk and they want
to... That would be pretty good, though, to have a Raiders of the Lost Ark wedding... But you have to make everyone that comes, including grandma and grandpa and everybody, come as Nazis.
And then they all get, like, melted. Like there's all these pyrotechnics and stuff, and then these, like, light beams go through their torsos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I wouldn't mind... I kind of want, like, there to be a character at my wedding. Like not even just at the reception. You know, like at the actual, you know, that idea of like you're getting married and then someone comes in from the back and says like, I don't think they should get married. And then like you sword fight them. and then you get married because it just said that the audience has something. You know?
I met a guy at the drawing room. His wife is Scottish and they got married in Scotland. And the ring bearer was the owl from... What's the owl from Harry Potter? Yeah, like he fucking flew in and brought the ring. And there's a picture of the owl flying in with the ring, and the crowd's like, "What the fuck?
Is that Hedwig?
It's Hedwig. Or Hedwig? Hedwig, yeah." So you got to outdo that. You got the budget.
Yeah, but I want a nest egg. I'm going to become very miserly because I want to retire, and I don't want to have to. Like worry about running out of money, so I'm going to become very thrifty.
Yeah,
I'm just going to get married. I'm going to stack a bunch of milk crates and knock them down, and then say I do. The ring will be in one of the crates. I don't know.
You guys going to have kids?
That to me is the larger point of getting married. Although Rob Schraub and Kate Freund, they don't seem to have any plans to have kids, but they were together for so long, as Rob said very touchingly, like he had run out of ways to make her understand how much he loved her, and so they decided to get married, which was one of the most romantic weddings in the world because they didn't have to. It wasn't like a precursor to having kids or divorce as usually is the case. It was just, like, you knew that they were going to be together forever because they didn't have to get married. They already lived together for like 8 years, and then they were just getting married because they wanted to be married. So you kind of had that. That was the first wedding I was at that I was like, holy shit, this is the real deal.
You guys should get married to Hermantown.
Just seems a little tacky. Not that you applauded something tacky, for those of you who started applauding. It's like Tiny Tim getting married on Carson or something. What is that?
He's referencing some old shit. Adam, are you going to get married?
No. Sure, why not?
Okay.
Girlfriend's free, right?
Jeez. She's not.
What would be the most romantic wedding? How would you get married?
I was in Barcelona once when I was really broke, and I performed on a cruise ship, and we made a bunch of money on the ship, and I just took the money I made and stayed in Barcelona for a few days. And I was walking around the Gothic Quarter, and it's like very narrow streets, and there's like Salvador Dali, you know, like exhibits and stuff, and it was really cool, and little fruit stands. And then it opened up into this big square, and there was like the street is so narrow, you can't really see the top of buildings. And I walked in, and it was the biggest cathedral in the world. Like, it was just like this enormous, like huge cathedral, and there was a choir singing from somewhere. You couldn't even see where the choir was. And on the far side, there was a wedding going on. There was like 12 people there. In the back, there were old ladies lighting candles, and it was very Catholic and doing that. But in the distance, it was just like falsetto choir singing, and there was a wedding going on. There was doves flying around from the rafters. It was really lonely and like somber, and I thought that's how I would do it. And I would invite like a few people. And I would come back to L.A. and I would have a big party for everybody else. But whoever wanted to come out to like whatever part of Europe or wherever we found the cool castle, we would do it there.
All right. He applauded himself. I'll see if I can make it. I don't know. Sounds a little snobby.
You're invited.
I don't know if I'd fit in. Seems a little fancy. It's like a coffee commercial.
Exactly, it is a VIP. You'd love it because nothing would be required of you. You would just come, and then it would be over, and then we'd all go out and have a drink.
All right, you got me at the close. All right, well, why don't we roll into our role playing adventure?
Let's do it.
Nice and early.
Are we bringing up guests to play Kumail or Aaron, or should we just go?
What do you think, Spencer?
Al fresco.
Whatever you guys want.
Come on, have a opinion.
I'm dying.
You're dying?
It's more of like an observation, really. Not really an opinion.
Are you really dying, Spencer?
No, I'm cool.
Were you bummed when Steve Jobs died?
No.
Quite the opposite.
I'm more bothered by it now, like retroactively, than I was when it like happened.
Because it affected the health plan?
No, I mean, that didn't happen. Like, I don't even think I got a job until after he died or whatever. I mean, I don't know. But it's just, I mean, he was like a genius. I mean,
yeah, he's
like
a visionary.
Yeah, there's not too many people like that. And it's like, you know, the world can kind of spin its wheels and like march inexorably forward. But all the good leaps are by some crazy cool guy that like leads people.
Yeah, so yeah. You kind of pointed at me when you said that.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is it takes a special kind of person with a special kind of charisma.
He didn't point at
his hand moved toward his backpack.
No, he just kind of flicked his wrist.
I felt like it was pointing at me.
A perceived point.
Well, you know, Jeff, the world can move inexorably forward, but The kinds of people who decide they want to be pointed at get pointed at. I'm the Steve Jobs of thinking people are pointing at me. Yeah, I was I don't know what how I went down this rabbit hole, but looking at quotes from him and stuff. He seems like a very interesting guy. Isn't there a biopic coming out about him? Isn't Ashton Kutcher playing him?
Yeah, I heard that was a train wreck.
I don't know why that's a bummer, but it is.
Ashton Kutcher won the Teen Choice Award. There's a video that went kind of viral of Ashton Kutcher winning his Teen Choice Award, and he went up and he broke it down. He said that his first name is not Ashton, it's Chris or something. Chris Kutcher.
So it's all
it occurs to me, Anatoly, that that is what... Okay, this is a fucking deep cut Harmontown reference, but when Anatoly was at the Rick and Morty panel at Comic-Con and you were pointing at your shirt, you had an Archer t-shirt on, that's what I thought you were saying. Ashton Kutcher! Ashton Kutcher! Anyways. But Ashton Kutcher went up and he... There's just 16-year-old girls screaming the whole time he's talking, but he decided to profess the virtues of hard labor and creativity. He said, "I never had a job that I felt above. I've swept floors. I've done this. I've done that, and I never felt like I was above my job. I just worked hard and tried to get a better job, and which is sort of, you know." It's not very subversive, but I guess it's better than everyone dreams, so you can have a limo too. And then the nicer thing was that he really espoused the virtues of being a proactive, creative thinker. He said, you don't live within the world that you're going into. Like look at it as a thing that needs to be expanded and built upon. Go to the moon, Dan Harmon, he said.
So when you're at home and your jammies watching the Teen Choice Awards.
I'm like, wait a minute, there's no teens on here. back to 4chan. I misinterpreted the title of this thing entirely. This is a bunch of old guys accepting awards. Yeah.
Choice teen.
But anyways, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, his name's not Ashton.
And he's going to be playing Steve Jobs, who I just found out years after he died was an interesting guy. It was right under my nose that he was using all his products, calling Spencer at work. just to tell him that there's a camera in it. All right,
let's do this.
No. So no people then?
No. Well, so you want people up
there? No, I'm just clarifying.
Seems like he wants people. What should we base our who we bring up on? I know the subreddit, the Harmontown subreddit, was very enthralled with young Tyler last week. Is it a meritocracy? Does he just earn another chance on the wheel? Or
I think he earned it. Okay. Maybe we bring Spencer up. I mean, sorry, not Spencer. We bring Tyler up, and we bring maybe someone new up.
Okay. All right.
Lizette. How about Lizette?
Okay, Tyler and Lizette. Lizette, would you like to play?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, Spencer, just to make things different, when you read the description of the catches up to date, can we do it to this song?
Can we?
Yeah, sure. Fun. Why not?
I'm going to start it from the top.
I should hope so.
Oh, the character sheets are being dispensed.
Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you, Tyler.
There's like three name puns that exist for me, and I've heard them all.
What are the other two?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm not going to abuse that power. I just want to know what the other two are.
Yeah, no one that will ever hear this interacts with me on any level or medium.
Would you rather simply arm us and be done with it or sit through the next 10-minute brainstorming session?
Because the suspenser is killing me.
Two out of three.
Two out of three?
Yeah.
Sounds like dispensership.
That's the third.
Yeah!
Like, no, that's the... No, dispensership? That's the same. Well, you already did dispensered. So that's...
He was doing censorship.
Yeah, no, that's not...
That was not...
Dispenser.
I'm done.
Yeah, sounds like you had it really bad. My last name rhymed with the lead selling toilet paper. There was commercials all
Did
over
anyone
the.
Literally call you. Oh, what's up, Sharman Harmon?
Don't squeeze the Harmon. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Every day, you guys are too young to remember. There was this guy, Mr. Whipple. He was apparently people loved wiping their ass in the 70s. I don't know, like you don't see a lot of there's like that cartoon bear now, which I think is interesting because they're like, oh shit, our toilet paper is so good, a bear could wipe his ass.
Is that weird? Like people like latch on to pop culture references just to make fun of you. Like I'm Tyler, and then like on the late end of high school when Fight Club was coming out, like, oh, what's up, Tyler Durden? I'm like. I'm not insulted.
Yeah, that's just future Verizon employees just exercising their little muscle in the back of their spine.
Lizette, did you get teased? Did your name rhyme with anything funny, or is there a Lizette tease?
I got teased in high school because I was really tall and skinny, and I had perfect skin and really nice hair.
She is very beautiful, for the record.
The reason I would make
I was about to teach you for the same reasons.
I looked relatively normal, but the second I opened my mouth, it was like, oh, she's a dork. Never mind. She looks okay, but she's pretty nerdy. So yeah, I got made fun of numerous times. Numerous.
Yeah. The worst one I ever heard was by this girl, Leah. I don't know if it was JD's wife or I was having a conversation. This conversation with a woman named Leah, and I was like, we were talking about how, well, what was the horrible thing that they said about you on the playground? And she was like, man, I had the worst. And I thought of her name, and I was like, what, Princess Leia or what? And she was like, Leotard. They called her Leotard.
The first thing that came to mind was like diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Yeah.
Oh God, that's diarrhea. Weird, huh? Yeah. Such a pretty name, and then so maligned.
Yeah, if you want to name a kid a name that cannot be teased, Jeff Davis. Nothing funny rhymes with that. It's
Jeff Gavis.
Gavis. Yeah, but it's like it doesn't really
hurt you because you're so gay. And that, which is great. Because gay people are amazing. That wedding you described, super gay.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to marry a dude there. For sure.
Have you ever been to a gay wedding?
Yeah. No, I haven't. Have you?
No. I don't think.
Are you proposing?
Am I what? Am I proposing? Yeah. Have you ever been to a gay wedding? Would you like to?
Yeah. Let's have a gay wedding right now.
I extend a hand. You open up a jack-o'-lantern, there's a ring. Also, happy Halloween, apparently. I don't know. No, I don't think I have.
No, that's not true. I've actually been. I have been to a gay wedding.
I guess it's a good sign that I can't really remember.
Or you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a good memory, but that's a good sign that I wasn't like, oh, fuck, I'll never forget that gay wedding. It was so gay. It was like, you know, if I was at a gay wedding, two men decided to spend the rest of their lives together and blended into the other people.
All weddings are gay.
They are the gayest things that straight people could ever do. which is another reason why gay marriage should absolutely be a thing. It's like, let these people into their house.
They've been planning all of our weddings forever.
Exactly.
Let them have one.
Right. That's the thing. So, like, in a normal wedding, like, the dude's pretty much just, like, hands off. Like, whatever. You do whatever you want to do, honey. Is it in the situation of a gay wedding where they're both really hands-on and it's even worse?
I think in most couples, really, there's always the male archetype and the female archetype regardless of what your sex is, I think. Maybe I'm just saying my lovely cousin who is gay was going to marry his boyfriend, but, you know... I'm allowed an opinion, and I just think that most
that
couples,
was my
there's
accident.
The dude and there's the girl, regardless of what sex you are. That could be an archetype. I'm just saying. So I'm allowed an opinion, so y'all can suck it, okay?
Whoa.
Thank you. I was very defensive about that. I don't like being told that I'm wrong, and even if I'm wrong, just respect the fact that I'm up here talking. Thank you. I'm just saying.
Who is groaning out there? You, ma'am. You disagree with that? That there's a male and female archetype?
I mean, that's a stereotype that's existed.
Well, nothing's true that you're going to say about everybody. Yeah, so
yeah, I just think it's unfair to make those sorts of
general relations. And as someone who is queer and who knows has experienced a fair amount of gay weddings, there are plenty of people where both members of the couple are intimately involved with all of the planning. And straight weddings, too. Like, my friend just got married. They were both totally hands-on. So, you know.
I think that's one of the first questions that straight people have about gay people is there a whether it's a lesbian couple or a gay male couple, like that's the first question is there a hierarchy, but really the obvious answer is, because I'm in a relationship where there's no clear hierarchy. Like I'm not so I would obviously there's not going to be always a dude and I don't even know how to use the language without
I said I'd marry you, Dan.
do you think that's like the rationalization of straight people who don't know any better, where it's just like, I don't, you're the same, like one of you's the dude, right? Like,
well,
right?
I don't think it's okay. I'll apologize for the generalization. I'm sorry, but it could be that one's more passive and one's more controlling. Regardless of,
I mean, no matter what you say, Lizette, they're always going to just.
Regardless of your gender, I'm just saying. You know, some couples, I've met a lot of couples in my life. Some people are more passive, and of the two, one's more passive. One could be more passive. One could be more controlling. I'll say could, as not to generalize. So.
Versatile is the word.
Not everybody is versatile, unfortunately. But okay, sure. Let's go with that.
It's almost as if these relationships aren't defined by the sexualities of the partners.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. That's why I apologize for the generalization. But it would it not be? What?
You're digging yourself a hole.
Would it be a bad? Okay, if you're gonna make your. Wait a second. Hold on.
Let it go. I think they want you to let it go.
All I wanted to say was that if you had...
When Adam Goldberg is heckling you, that is an indictment. All right, let's play some D&D, Spencer, shall we?
I'd like to revisit the last topic. No. Last time on Harmontown D. And D. After leaving the frozen city of Fornheim and plunging into an icy canyon to the north, our heroes managed to avoid the chilling effects of nature through a combination of theatrics and magical resistances to cold weather. Having bargained away the fragments of power for Sharpie's life, and as well as a detachment of summoned skeletons, the band was merry and in great spirits until they heard a noise behind them. It was Yurch. Yes, the urine-soaked gnoll was back and warned of a demonic outpost just beyond. A massive wall jammed into the ice, guarded by monsters and demons. The party taunted and ambushed some of the gate guards, causing the black gate to open, and a massive ogre bearing archers on its back lumbered out. After a painful prostate stimulation by Mulrain's tree token and a volley of fireballs and other flaming backpacks, Quark got into the ogre's pants. A few more flaming bolts to the brainstem and the ogre was down. That's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you, Spencer.
So, yeah, you just killed that ogre.
Is the gate still open right now?
Yeah, you've just killed the ogre, and you stand at the open gate through the icy canyon. There's there's some guards and demons remaining on this gate, but they're kind of up a few stories tall, and it's open right now.
Do they look like they're trying to stop us, or are they like, oh, shit, they killed an ogre. We're not going to mess with them.
They look like they're off balance, and as I'm speaking, this is happening. They start to tumble and fall off the gate as it starts to swing wider open. But now you see all these dudes kind of plummeting from the gate onto the icy floor, and they're just hitting the ground. Crunch. Smash. Splat.
Was one of them Admiral Darkstar?
Nope.
Damn it.
Let's go through the gate, you guys.
Let's do it.
Skeleton army! Ho!
All right. You head forward.
Have we lost any skeletons, or do we still have the full complement of skeletons?
They were kind of scarce in the ogre battle. I don't think you lost any.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So you're heading up this icy slope beyond this gate, and you can see at the top of the slope, you can the reflection of the sun is kind of blinding you and making it hard to see forward. Hmm. Be blind now.
We're blind?
Nah, you just can't see very well.
How can we have any estimation of how high it goes? It's just into the abyss.
You would if you weren't so blinded.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Can I send Avenger up as the weather quelled a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
It's... Avenger, go straight up and spy.
You send Avenger straight up to spy. And after some time, he comes back. He gives you a look that says, I went up there and what I saw I can't really repeat, except I can repeat. It was a bunch of demons, see? It was like an army of demons and demonic creatures all standing outside this big black box. It was the Black Keep, see?
Is your bird from the 30s kind of a gangster from like a...
Yeah. Shit.
There's a bunch of demons, see?
Avenger saw a bunch of... there's an army of demons on the other side of this gate.
How many?
An army.
An army.
An army of an demons. Army.
Yep.
Over 10, Avenger?
Over 10.
Under 40?
Under 40.
Okay. Well, we got
it. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a small army.
So is this like the main Black Fortress where supposedly Emerald Darkstar is?
Who are you talking to?
My party members.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. This is the black keep, right?
Yeah.
The Black Keep.
Do we have a large enough army? We have us and 40 skeletons, and there appears to be tons of them.
Less than 40.
Less than 40.
More than 10.
Doesn't seem like we're in a good position.
We can take them.
Maureen feels confident about this.
I think we need someone in our party who has the sexuality type to plan this attack, and the rest of us to be a little more laid back about it. I'm not saying that the only woman should be the one that plans the attack. I'm just saying that it tends to be the woman that wants to plan attacks.
I think it should be you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Clark, are you a master strategist?
Huh?
Are you a master strategist?
I'm a barbarian. My strategy is going to be to run in there the willy-nilly and go in there and just start kicking ass.
That sounds terrible.
But you have a sensitivity in your eyes.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna knock on the gate.
We're already through the gate.
Whoa. What do you mean through it?
The gate's open.
So there's
open.
The gate, and we have to keep going up the hill to get to the Black
Fortress. We're through the gate.
Yeah. All right. I'm not a visual learner.
Big hill.
Auditory.
Us. Fortress.
All right. Thank you.
I guess you're a caveman learner.
I organized the skeleton army into a hoplite. Like a chevron shaped like attack formation.
Sure, chevron.
Phalanx, yeah.
A phalanx, sure. Different, but similar.
Yeah, really different.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot more accurate than phalanx.
Okay, a hoplite.
Yeah. That happens. They're arranged.
And I march. I say march.
You say march.
And we start walking up the slope.
I guess we should we stay behind the skeletons?
Yeah, definitely. Let the skeletons go in there first.
All right.
Tyler, what?
Tyler's worried about...
I'm sorry, Krista Berg, what was it?
Nothing, no. I was like, yeah, you're right. Let's stay behind him.
Okay, let's do it. So we march behind our formation of skeletons.
All right, the sun's blinding, as I said. So you can kind of see the skeletons crest over the hill. They're ahead of you, right, if I heard
right? Yes, correct.
Yeah, they're ahead of you, and you see them. They go over the hill, and they disappear. So they're at the top of this place. And from far off, from farther away than if you were closer, for instance, you hear a familiar and chilling, I mean, not really chilling, voice calls out. You seek to lay siege to the Ziggurat, Mark II? Well, let's see if you can take care of my welcome party. Their hospitality is... attack!
See, that's PCP.
Yeah.
hospitality is, shall we say, less than hospitable.
That's the more clever version.
Yeah, I did a floor rewrite on it.
Wait, whose voice was that?
That's Admiral Darkstar. If
oh shit, yeah.
If I know anything,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear a thing that was said because I was so dazzled by it.
I love looking in Spencer's eyes while he does that voice.
Did you see him vibrating?
They're just dead eyes.
Yeah.
No wonder he's so evil with a voice like that. Jeez.
Yeah. He probably got teased a lot.
What was the upshot of what he said?
You dare to assail the Ziggurat Mark II.
The upshot.
Here's a welcoming committee, but in air quotes.
Okay. Can we send Avenger up there and like have him flip off people? Like, let's go in there. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going. We're march the skeletons. I mean, he knows we're coming. That's why he said that stuff.
All right, onward.
So as you crest the hill, you see all those demons that I was previously mentioning. Let's see about those demons I was previously mentioning. Standing in front of the Black Keep, blocking the ice road towards it, is a sizable demonic force. You see about 30 of those sliming, yellow, oozy demons that I've mentioned in previous encounters, as well as 10 tall, skinny knights clad in black armor. You also see 2 purple porco demons. Those are massive, demonic porcupines. As well as a massive red demon standing head and shoulders above the tallest of the dark knights. They stand blocking the road, glaring at you as if daring you to challenge them. However, what you don't see is your skeleton army.
What?
Oh, great.
They decamped? What happened?
Well, that's what happens when you send a force to some place you can't see.
We were right behind them.
I mean, you were marching right behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're gone?
Yeah.
I call out, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo. Skeletons!
These skeletons aren't the most talkative, but yet you don't hear anything. I mean, and so you don't hear anything.
Fuck you in your teeth? Nothing?
No.
Wait, so they're just gone?
You don't see them. I mean, so they would appear gone.
All right, well,
you see that it might be like some sort of mirage kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we keep marching forward. I mean,
you feel the ice give way below your feet. You plunge.
Shit.
Oops. Downward.
I bet there's some skeletons down there.
Do I get a balance check before I go tumbling to my death?
Nah, you more just kind of tumble.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
As you wish. Just watched Princess Bride this weekend. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
You fall down, down, down through the icy floor and down, 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 landing in a dark, icy, cold place on a crunchy pile of bones.
Oh, man. Ted, Steve, LaQuisha,
number 9.
You notice you're all separated. You don't see your friends.
So we're all alone?
You're all in separate rooms.
Quark! Sharpie! Yes. All right!
Coco!
Christenberg!
Yeah! Quark! Quark!
So we can hear each other?
Just very, very faintly. You can't see in the darkness either.
So it's dark and there's bones around us?
Yeah.
Are these presumably our skeleton army?
Yeah.
Oops.
I take a bone and I wrap a part of my pantaloon. I rip part of my robe off, real sexy like. Wrap it around a bone. Fuck it, I just light a torch. I try to make a torch out of a bone for a while and then I just like, you know what? They don't make them like they do at the store.
You're in a chamber. It's a stone chamber, except one of the walls is made of ice. There's a hole in the ceiling, presumably where you fell through, and then there's a big iron circular door before you. That's all you see, other than the skeletons.
Before
there's,
all of us?
I mean, that's what you all see, I guess. Yeah,
I have low light vision, so I can see that too.
Probably. Yeah,
I have goggles.
Oh yeah, the goggles of night.
So all the skeletons are just dead?
No, I mean they're not.
Oh. Skeletons.
Well, they're undead.
Are they?
Is there any way to make them reassemble, or is it just like, sorry?
That happens.
Oh. Hey, reassemble, skeletons.
That happens.
Woo!
I try to open my door.
Hey, Quark!
Yeah?
Tell your skeletons that they're cool to get back up.
Hey, everybody, get up!
Oh, they all get up.
Okay.
I say to my skeletons, looks like you hated it.
I feel like I'd be like, why we gotta fight like this if they said that? Like, if that happened, if I was quicker on the uptake and that happened to me with a waiter, I'd be like, why you gotta be like that?
I don't know. There's no winning.
Yeah. That's what just... if you just hit him? That'd be
because,
winning.
Because the day hit them. They had to wait on my table. You know? They're already bummed out. It's like they're just like, yeah, it's just a sad situation for everybody.
What if you just stare at them and maintain unblinking eye contact?
I mean, these are all just things like, I'm not going to condition I'm saying like they have to stop. Like we can't come up with ways to make them miserable in response.
No, it's not miserable. Just make them go, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should think about saying that in the future.
Maybe I should become a better person in general.
If I can accomplish that with a stare, I've done something right.
Yeah. Maybe if I care enough about it, I'll bring literature. That's like how they can opt out of saying that. leave it on the table. Just go, just so you know, you don't have to do a bit when you see crumbs on the plate.
You feel like they're calling you fat when they say that?
No, honestly not. I just think it's like a tiny little example of how we just kind of had these habits that were just kind of like, you know, just catchphrases and got milks, too much informations and things. And like we're just, but that's an example of one that kind of like in that tiny little split second moment, it's just like confusion and anxiety happen. Never happiness, ever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sometimes also you're talking to somebody who kind of feels bad that they've just mowed down a fucking bucket of chicken. You know, like that, there's that too, I guess.
Ooh, there aren't even bones left on the plate. You must have hated it.
So, what restaurant are you going to where you eat a bucket of chicken?
KFC. Or what are you, like a... This is like a... Comic-Con panel? You're just going to catch me in a...
Aston Kutcher! All right, so one of the doors is made, or walls is made of ice, right?
Yeah. You were opening a door, right?
Yeah, I tried to open the door.
Yeah, so you open the iron door, and it swings forth, and inside you see a large, gray-skinned humanoid creature with blazing eyes and large ram's horns. He gives a mighty roar, and then closes the door.
Oh, you found the men's room.
I wouldn't go in there if I were you.
Can I try opening my door?
Yeah.
Is it the same guy?
No. This door opens into a larger icy chamber, and flitting around said icy chamber is a small blue imp flying around on bat wings.
Asshole. Okay.
Yeah. Behind him, you can see a staircase going upwards.
Okay. I yell at the imp. I'm like, hey! Why are we... What are you doing? Stop that! Come here, talk to me! What are you doing?
You guys can hear that faintly.
Okay.
It doesn't respond to you, though.
Is that you, Christopher?
Yeah, there's this blue shithead flying around in this room. I don't know what he's doing.
There's a big horn-faced guy outside my door. He looks like an asshole.
I'm just hanging out.
This sucks, you guys!
Open your door and see what's out there, Mulrain and Sharpie.
May I open my door?
You may.
I would like to open the door.
Okay. You open the door and it swings open. Inside you can see a horrendous assortment of rusted metal blades on rusted metal poles. As the door opens, you hear a clacking as the metallic limbs begin to move and sputter. And several of them fly out of the door, lunging at you.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Yeah.
May I use my...
You should use it.
May I use my flaming armor to melt the metal?
Yeah. So these limbs kind of lunge out, but they miss you as you activate. Did I miss something awesome?
Yes.
Someone
said use your perfect skin
to open the door.
That's pretty good. Anyway, yeah, and then you activate your flaming armor, and it starts to kind of melt these things a little bit. Not melt so much as make them red hot, but it's kind of inflicting some sort of, I mean, melting. It's definitely increasing the temperature, let's say that.
You almost said damage. Almost.
Oh, it's doing damage, too. Okay. But only 8.
Not bad for doing nothing.
Well, I mean, it didn't do nothing. It did 8 damage.
Sharpie, what's outside your door?
Did you say there was stuff on the walls, too? There was room?
The walls are made of ice. Like, the other walls are made of stone, except for these ice walls.
Okay. I go up to my door. I'm just going to give it a little open. You know what? A big open.
It swings open and reveals several frozen, intact corpses. They look like adventurers. Their bodies are adorned in fine items and equipments.
Jackpot.
And, of course, a tragedy. What kind of fine items do I just procure them?
Sure. You procure 4 cloaks of resistance, 4 rings of protection, 2 boots of wintry might.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
2 boots of spry springing, 1 Jesus. Rod of frost.
Wait,
one
I want
mighty,
that one. Dibs on that one instead.
1 mighty greatsword, 1 whisper bow, and 1 assassin's ribbon dagger.
Well, I want that one. I want that one.
Ribbon dagger. Is it rechargeable? Whoa. Guys, I found a bunch of shit!
Hey, I want dibs on some of that.
I got a big horn guy outside my my door.
I don't care. I got a dagger. Fuck you.
Wait. Wow. Wow.
Why? You
don't have a dagger.
Are we connected? He has them all. We have to get to him.
Yeah.
Are we connected? Are these ice walls like the things that are keeping us from each other?
Who knows, man.
I take my flaming sword and I start slicing at the wall from the direction where I hear my friend's voices coming from.
You see, Chris de Berg.
Hey! Hey! I'm just kidding. I didn't really mean fuck. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Well,
I'm
fuck
sorry.
You. How's your dagger?
I don't have it yet.
I keep slicing through the walls until we find
Mulrain.
Mulrain.
Hey! Oh my god! Hey.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Totally fell.
Mulrain, you look great.
You look great. Perfect skin. Oh my god.
I try.
Okay.
So, oh, she's a dork.
I learned it from watching you.
Okay. I keep slicing until we get to Sharpie.
Sharpie.
Sharpie, oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh, hey, I'm...
Hey!
Look at all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you hate it.
Have at it, guys. There's boots of shimmering, knives of plucking, capes of resistance.
Capes of resistance?
Yeah. Do they have any boots in my size? I'm a size 9.
I think so.
Okay,
whoa,
nice.
They do.
Yay!
Wait,
that's
what was
convenient.
It? What are the things we can all share? There's 4 of a few things, right?
There's 4 cloaks of resistance and 4 rings of protection.
Sweet.
Resistance resists what?
I mean... stuff. It gives you a bonus on your saving throws.
Sweet. Versus?
Fun rules.
And what were the weapons?
What? Oh, weapons. Mighty greatsword, whisper bow, ribbon dagger, and a rod of frost.
That sounds like one for each of us.
Oh, damn.
I'll do the rod
of frost.
Weird. Mulrain probably whisper bow, right?
Probably.
Yeah,
sure.
I have a question about this ribbon dagger. Does it have a long ribbon attached to it in which maybe I could throw it and take it back?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Woo!
Scarecrow got a brain. Chris de Berg got a knife with a rope pre-tied to it.
All right.
It's amazing.
And what's the Rod of Frost? Is that mine?
I would believe that would be mine.
What do I get?
You get the sword.
Mighty Great Sword.
Well, tell me about the Mighty Great Sword.
It's super mighty.
Hey, guys, I got a mighty sword.
That's adorable.
Thank you.
Yay.
It's, like, bigger than the last one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I heard pretty.
How much larger is it than him now?
Like, let's see. The last one was roughly 25% longer than him. I would say this one's at least 35% longer than him. I'd say if you're, like, 3 foot 3 inches, then this one would have to be, you
do
know.
Do the math.
4'2".
Okay.
Is there a way people can bookmark this part of the podcast so they can just skip right to it? I don't know if that technology exists, but... Or if we have to invent it, could I suggest for a name, Highlight Finder? Thrill Seeker. It's new. All right. And about my rod of frost?
You get the sense that it cast cold spells.
Yeah.
It would take like a day to study it, but once that day's over, hoo boy.
And these cloaks of resistance can be donned without me having to choose to take off anything else, right? Like I just have my wizardly robes.
You have a cape, like your dad's cape.
Aww.
I think those kind are in the same place.
Can you wear two capes?
I mean,
My dad's cape is like a cloak. It's like a teleportation cape.
Oh yeah,
it's just not charged or.
No, it recharges once per day, and you tried to use it twice per day and forgot about it.
What, you had a teleportation cape the whole time?
Hey, in my defense, I finally remembered I had a bird.
How about you grab us all and teleport out of this hole?
Yes. Everybody go through your shit. Like, let's all take inventory real quick.
Wait, you had a teleportation cape this whole time?
Yes, Lizette.
Don't you also have a staff that, like, grows so you can climb out on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Dan, you're holding out on us, man.
Got all kinds of
Sharpie.
Can I remind you guys that the reason you found all this shit is because I forgot I had all that stuff?
Yeah. What are you going to say next time?
If we hadn't gotten our asses kicked five times before now, we wouldn't even be here. It's called the butterfly theory effect. Look it up. I don't know. I like the way you guys are looking at me.
Hey, that was an Ashton Kutcher movie.
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher reference.
There you go.
All right. I want to take that climbing rod that I have that...
Should we get out of here?
Over to beneath the hole that I fell through?
There's
a staircase behind the blue imprint.
Yeah.
Should we check this out before we go?
Yeah, we need our skeletons anyway. We can't... Yeah.
We have them.
Okay.
We told them to get up.
We rally our skeletons and we walk through Krista Berg's door towards the blue imp staircase.
It's like the least threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens?
That's me.
I walk into the room with the blue imp and I say, "Hey, shithead, I brought my friends. Come on."
Yeah, so he's still flitting around on those bat wings. He's still on the other side of the chamber as that staircase, as I mentioned.
God damn it.
But he begins spinning around like a top in midair. It causes a rapid wind to whip up and it starts blowing around the room. Soon chunks of ice and snow are beginning to be lifted up off the floor and the walls. They're pulling off the walls and they're flying towards the demon, encasing them in ice and snow. And it keeps building up and building up until it looks like a giant snowflake floating around in the air.
We should kill that thing.
You said it was putting it... I'm sorry, it was attacked. You said you referenced a demon.
Yeah, so there's this blue imp demon.
Oh, okay, okay.
I see.
So he's sucking in elements and turning into this other thing.
Now he's a snowflake.
Now he's a giant snowflake. I hold on. Like, non-conflict resolution for a moment, Tyler.
Okay,
maybe.
I tried. He didn't listen to me.
No. We all know. I saw the subreddit. Everyone jacking you off. You're the best D&D player in the world. You did very well.
Sorry. I'll try to do more terrible.
I'm
not trying to show you up, Dan.
I'm expressing my jealousy. I'm just saying... I
love you. Okay?
I kneel in front of the snowflake and I say in three different languages, hello. That's how you do it, Tyler.
Wait, does one of us have Amulet of Frost? That's one of us.
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Maybe you can like stop it. Be like, no, like, because you can control the ice. Can you stop this terrible thing from happening?
I can calm and intensify hail, sleet, and snow.
You could calm this piece of thing before it kills us.
So let's see what happens with his hello.
We'll go for it first.
You see a central spot in the middle of the snowflake kind of glow blue.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like that means hello back?
Who knows, man? You don't speak.
I use my amulet of armlet of winter to calm this thing.
It's floating in the air. You use your armulet, and it continues to float in the air.
I say to it, I don't know if you can communicate with us, but I'm making the assumption that you, like us, are prisoners in this dungeon, that you ran afoul of Admiral Darkstar, and that you might be able to help us defeat him.
It's the central spot, and it's, center of mass. Kind of turns red and starts spinning around like a saw blade.
All right, I guess
let's kill it.
Yeah.
Krista Berg?
Yeah, let's kill it.
Use that ribbon thing you got.
Oh, yeah. Can I throw my dagger at it with the ribbon on it?
The
I want to use the ribbon dagger.
Okay,
use that ribbon dagger.
You've never used one of these before.
Okay.
So you're not the...
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right.
The most experienced.
He's used shittier versions of that before.
Yeah.
I'm all over it. It's fine.
They got different weights. That's how this stuff works. Anyway, it does hit him.
Sweet.
For anyone wondering.
Can I pull it back?
Yeah, that happens.
I want to do that.
You deal 1 damage.
Yeah! Suck it, nerd!
Mighty far sword attack.
I think you have your far sword for the day used up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You need to cut through the wall.
Yeah. It's, let's just do that. I take out my... is it floating in the air above me?
Yeah, you might be able to jump up there, but it'll be a bit of an exertion.
You want
a
boost?
Yeah, I get on top of Krista Berg's shoulders, and we run like a chicken fight. And I go in there wielding my new sword and say, take a piece of this, snowflake.
I heard you're not the same as all of your counterparts, but the pain I inflict will be identical.
I give a thumbs up to Sharpie.
I'm workshopping it.
Like, by the time I get there, have the joke punched up.
I throw my my snowflake related quips to a writer's room.
Your clips get workshopped. As you're given this thumbs up, it kind of throws off your chicken stack of adventurer's balance, and you just kind of topple to the ground.
What?
It's hard to balance and thumbs up and stab people.
Okay, I run back and regroup.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
May I do something?
Yep.
Yeah.
May I throw 3 flaming arrows at the snowflake?
You want to shoot? You don't want to throw arrows. That's a bad idea. Use your bow. Use your new bow. Wait.
Yes. Wait. No.
You don't know what it is yet.
Whisper bow.
Yeah, that.
You should try your new bow.
Please.
Why are we whispering? I don't want to talk about it.
I can't hear what's happening.
May I use my whisper bow to throw 3
fire
arrows at the snowflake?
Your whisper bow can only fire 2 arrows. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm not picky.
Do you want to make them flaming arrows?
Yes, please. Yes.
One of your arrows strikes, hitting its mark. Mark being the snowflake in this instance. It deals 7 damage.
Nice.
All right, yeah.
You see some of the ice kind of melt and drip off onto the floor. That's what fire does to ice. Sharpie?
Scorching ray.
Scorching ray. It strikes directly in its center of mass in that glowing red eyeball part I was mentioning.
Sweet.
And it deals 13 damage.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ow!
It continues its rapid spinning, and it kind of spins around the whole room, attempting to slice into your torsos / midsections. I mean, what'd you expect?
Not that.
I tried to make friends with it.
I don't even know. So, Mulrain and Krista Berg each get struck.
No.
And they each take... Well, Krista Berg takes 12 damage. And Mulrain takes 6.
Oh, fuck.
Dirty ass.
This isn't... It's fine. It's fine.
You're all cut
up.
Not
your fault.
Listen. Try the ribbon dagger again. You're getting good at it.
It did 1 damage. This doesn't seem like...
You're getting good at it.
It's like a slap machine. It's going to pay off now. I know. You got it warmed up.
This is the worst idea. Yeah, let's just do the ribbon dagger again. Why not? What could go wrong?
Critical hit.
Oh!
Fine. Whatever, you guys. Whatever.
stealing four dams.
Yeah!
We use the term critical loosely here.
Is that me?
I put it at you.
Okay, I get back on Christopher's shoulder as I go. Let's try this again.
Okay, one more time. All right.
What's my line? I need a snowflake line.
Oh, shit.
Chill out.
Okay. I get on. Thank you. I get on Christopher's shoulders and I take out my flaming sword and I kind of like spur him like he's a horse.
Don't fuck. Why that hurts? Don't. What are you doing?
It's lightly, you know.
Okay. I'm running. Sorry.
We start running at him and I say, "Chill out." An attack with my flaming sword.
Your attack hits, I don't know. I'll leave. Yeah. Your attack lands a lot better than your bad pun.
Or your delivery.
Or my execution of that attempt of jokes. Or that execution. Dealing 14 damage.
14. All right. Yeah.
You see a chunk of ice kind of fall off of his body, and I get snowflake into the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's as if it's made
out of
ice.
How much of it is left?
Most of it.
Shit.
I say, as I keep writing on Christenberg, and as I look back with my sword in the air, I go, "Welcome to Meltdown."
I throw him onto the ground.
Oh, I like that one. Putting it at Mulrain's turn.
Can I try to talk to the snowflake?
Yeah.
We've already determined that communication has failed. At least Dan trying to talk to it has failed. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Can I try speaking it in elf?
Yeah.
Maybe it's an elvish snowflake. Yeah, go for it.
What do you want to say in elf?
Can you please tell the snowflake I think it's very pretty?
As you begin speaking in elven, the snowflake doesn't respond. The whisper bow, however, does, and you can see there's runes on its surface you couldn't notice before. They're beginning to glow and light up as a response to your elven speech.
In your face, Christopher.
Whatever. The snowflake isn't elven. That was my point.
There's kind of a new will-they-won't-they kind of element going on here.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird Sam and Diane sexual tension here.
I think the gay people in the audience want to know in this relationship who would plan the wedding.
He certainly dresses better than I do. I don't know.
It's ducks in a barrel, that callback.
It's still your turn though. You're just talking in Elvish, so that doesn't take up a turn.
Whisper to your bow and Elven and make its arrows fly true.
May I use one more arrow to...
You can shoot two. It's a new turn.
Oh, great. Two new flaming arrows on my whisper bow, please.
Yeah. You fired the flaming arrows from your whisper bow. Both of them strike their mark, plunging deep into the snowflake.
We're dealing. Fighting a snowflake.
Yeah, you are. Dealing 33 damage.
What the holy shit?
You should talk to your bow more. Clearly, that was what did it. Talking to your bow.
The arrows.
Yeah, you're right. I got this. We're good.
They strike into the snowflake, and it bursts into flame, and kind of melts, and you see a charred imp kind of plop to the floor.
Yeah. And
then your bow kind of fades in color, like goes back to normal.
I walk up to the imp and I say, "Ice to fuck you."
Ice to fuck you?
Yeah. I didn't want to say ice to see you because we already saw him.
Ice to meet you.
Ice to beat you.
Ice to beat you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Harmontown. That's our show.
Ice to beat you.
Ice to beat all of you. One more time for Tyler and Lizette, everybody. Well, thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Lizette. Spencer Crittenden.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon.
Shout out to Spencer's mom, who's also here.
Spencer's mom is here.
Oh, Spencer's mom's here. Yeah.
Hello, Spencer's mom. Thank you all. We love you. Good night.